Countryside Anywhere podcast. For more information about Countryside Church, including gathering times and location, check out teamcountryside.com. Today's message comes from Pastor James Williams.
Good morning. So great to see so many of you here and so many tuning in online on our online campus at Countryside Anywhere on teamcountryside.com and also Facebook. We're happy to be streaming on both platforms there. So we're excited to have you. Last week we started a new series. It's called Life in Color, a series that will challenge us in these times, in our days. Every single day, whether we're young, old, older, to ask a big question. We're asked big questions right now. How are we living our lives? And are we experiencing a life with Jesus of full, beautiful color, or are we finding ourselves in the midst of those things that can steal from that joy, that sin, distractions, fears, hurts, holdbacks? Because Jesus said, in John chapter 10, he said, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, and that is not Jesus. He's describing the enemy. Jesus says, I have come that they, that's us, may have life and have it to the full. So through Christ, we find freedom, forgiveness, purpose, and wholeness. And as Psalm 16 says, you make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. So I have to ask, church, how's this going for you? Because it's Easter time and it's springtime and the schools are kind of hitting this point that they never got to last year. So we're feeling a little bit more busier than we did a year ago, right? And I don't know about you, but I can feel a little bit more distracted right now. In fact, my wife and I, we feel like ping pongs bouncing all around our different things that we've got to get done. And so distraction is easily found. I was thinking about it the other day. My grandparents' 50th wedding anniversary happened years ago in Yankton, and I swear the whole town of Yankton showed up for this event, and they all came to this building, and the whole week it was a celebration of their lives. And so the family gathered and we enjoyed our time, but my brother and I, we were not seeing eye to eye. We were feuding that whole week, and it was really disrupting the whole family. In fact, there's a family picture of us where we're like, everybody's happy, but you get to my brother and myself, and we are not happy. We are like looking at each other like we're about to have like a UFC fight. And so if you have siblings, you know what this is like. And you know what your mom says eventually. She says, you know what? Why don't you just stay home from the party? Ooh. No, mom, we'll straighten up. We promise. Don't make promises you can't keep. It was a rough day, I'll just say that. We ended up going to the party, but it was a rough day. We lost our focus on why we were there. Well, this is nothing new. In fact, some 2,000 years ago, Luke actually recorded a specific instance where two sisters, had a very similar situation. They showed how different we can be in a life where we invite Jesus into our home, into our lives, and we want this life of full color, but somehow one of them is getting distracted. We're going to be in Luke chapter 10 today. And so if you have your Bibles, if you have your Bible app on your phone, you can certainly pull that out. If you're watching online, you can pull it up in another browser, whatever you need. But Luke chapter 10, verse 38, and you can follow along on the screen as well. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. So Jesus entered this village. Village name is Bethany. And a woman named Martha, she opened her house to Jesus. It's Martha's house, okay? And she had a sister called Mary, as we continue on, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted. Oh, man, that never happens to me. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all this work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, just calmly, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. Do me a favor and let's pray together really quick. Father, we come to you today, Lord, and we just look to you. We ask you, God, speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, plant seeds where seeds need to be planted, and God, let these words that I speak be your words. God, bless this time that we get to gather together. Father, feed us with your word. You are sufficient. You are all we need. And we love you and we pray all of this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Okay, so why did Jesus pick, I don't want to say pick on one sister, but kind of called out one sister, but then the other sister sitting at his feet like, hey, look at, hey, good job. Why did he do this? Well, let's start with this Martha situation, okay? Which anybody knows, like, when you get a name and then your middle name, you know it's bad news, right? You know it's bad news, and then when you get all three names, like, that weekend, I guarantee you my mom was like, James Emerson Williams, if you don't knock this off, yes, okay, sure. But two of the same names, that's not a compliment either, okay? That's not a compliment. It's like, Martha, Martha, wah, 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 wah. You could feel that music happening in the background. Well, something to be clear of this situation, Jesus isn't picking on Martha because there's one personality type better than the other, okay? So this isn't a moment where he's picking on Martha because of the way God designed her. We want you to figure out who God built you to be, and that's something that Martha's going through in this situation. In fact, it was just last week, Pastor Jamie was talking about, he was talking about discovering your purpose. And remember, he was talking about charis, remember? And what your gifts are and how they make a difference in other people's lives and how it builds up the body of Christ. He talked about all of that last week. So we're not saying one makeup, one personality type, one Enneagram is better than the other Enneagram number, okay? We're not talking about any of that because Mary people, we'll just say Mary people, they tend to thrive in this chaos. They can shut it all down around them and they can just thrive in it. Whereas Martha people, I love Martha people. They are cleaning up the wreckage, right? Right? We love Martha people. God bless Martha. You wanna go on a hike with Martha, okay? You wanna make sure that you have a Martha person because Mary's over here. Isn't this beautiful? Look at the rocks. Look at these trees. Aren't they just wonderful? And Martha's over there. Hey, you know what? Sunset is coming soon. We gotta get back to the path, which is about several miles that way. We should probably think about that because Bears beats Battlestar Galactica. They're all showing up very soon. We gotta get back there soon. You know, the Mary person is like, but didn't you see these flowers? Aren't they beautiful? They're so pretty. And the Martha person is like, yeah, didn't you see the sign that we turned on? Didn't you see that road sign? That's what I'm worried about. And so Jesus isn't shaming her because of how she is created. No, Mary is not better than Martha because she wasn't serving. Just like Martha is not worse than Mary because she was serving, the issue here isn't what Martha did, it's how she did it. She didn't do a bad thing. She did a good thing in the wrong way because she missed the why. Eugene Peterson puts it this way when he said in a message that he gave on this text, he said, Martha was distracted with much serving. Distracted means not paying attention. It means not having a center or an anchor being pulled this way and pulled that way by whoever and whatever. So if you're a leader in a business setting, okay? If you're a leader in a business setting or even an educational setting, it's incredibly important that you don't just focus on the what, but you also focus on the why. When you gather the class, when you gather the staff, when you get together the team, you know, we try to get synced for this upcoming year or this upcoming month, and we get focused, and we're not just going to talk about what to do or the to-do list. We don't just say, here's what we're going to do this year, here are the things that are happening that we can get there with. But we ask, why? Why the sacrifice? Why do we do this? Because when you lose your why, you lose your way. It's all about that why. And Martha, it's clear, has lost her why. She's running around like crazy. She's got life in color just happening in her house, waiting for her. And she's focused on these black and white distractions that are tripping her up. Now, if she hadn't been the way she was, there would be no gathering in the first place. Again, I love Martha people. Martha's the person that makes sure you have the guacamole salsa and the buffalo chicken dip and chips. We are so grateful. I'm a food guy. If you go to a party where I'm at, where's James? He's in the kitchen making things. Yeah, okay. Mary's over there. Wow, look at how beautiful everything is. This is amazing. But she didn't prepare anything. She didn't have anything ready to go. So it's good that Martha did this, but she just lost the why. And this happens to me as a dad when it comes to planning a vacation, okay? I sit and I plan, and where are we going to go, and where are we going to stay, and how is it going to happen, and how many people are coming with us, and what are we going to eat? And how much is it going to cost, right? You were waiting for me to say that. How much is this going to cost? Can't go over budget. And pretty soon we're sitting there and things are happening and my wife looks at me and she's like, let's go do this, let's go do this, let's go do this. And I'm like, whoa, wait. We didn't plan for that. We didn't budget for that. But wait a minute. Am I just being Martha in this situation? Am I just not relaxing? Am I not making some memories with my family? Am I not having fun resting? Because that's why we take vacations. It's not an exercise in to-do lists. But I can find myself in this exact situation. And so if you lose your why, you can lose your way. And in this moment in history, that's what Martha is experiencing. She got so wrapped up in how perfect the party needed to be, she forgot about the guest of honor. She forgot who was there. She forgot about Jesus. She forgot and just simply wasn't present when Jesus was there. And when we do that, we lose the anchor. When we lose the center, when we lose the heart, when we get wrapped up with distractions, what happens? I'll tell you, you're headed for burnout. You're headed for resentment eventually, and then you're headed for, strangely enough, jealousy. Let me tell you what I mean. When you've burnt out, you start looking around at other people. And you start seeing them a little different and begin to critique them. Well, they're not doing what they should be doing. They're not doing it the way I would do it, and then that's their problem. But really, it's our problem. They're not right because we're not right. Things aren't right for you. We become experts on the way others need to live their lives, though it's mainly a problem with us. See, Martha knew exactly how Mary should live her life. Just be more like Martha. But in this situation, that's not working out, is it? What comes next? We know what comes next. When we lose our why, when we burn out, then we start correcting God. Well, of course. He's the problem. Martha makes this audacious step to begin to chastise Jesus and tell Jesus how he should be Jesus. Listen to this in verse 40. But Martha was, what's that word there? Oh, come on. We're better than that. What's that word there? Distracted. Yeah, she's distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Don't you care, Jesus? Don't you care? Who are we talking to here? Who do you think you're talking to? Tell her to help me. So they're sitting around. She invited him into her house. She threw a party for him, but she's forgotten. She's gotten so wrapped up in the what and forgotten about the why. And then she takes that step and interrupts Jesus' message. Martha, at this point, is what we would call in the professional party planning world as a hot mess. That's official. Again, the point of this message is not to shame Martha. This can happen to all of us. This is a moment when we get to see what happens when we lose sight of that life in color that Jesus has to offer us. He came to give it to us. We get distracted. We end up anxious and troubled. Anxious and troubled when we're not getting the time with Jesus that we're supposed to be getting. Verse 41, here it is. Martha, Martha, wah, wah, wah. The Lord answered, "You are worried and upset about many things." For Martha, it's this dinner party that's created all this anxiety and trouble. It's wanting to get that good job. Great guacamole, Martha. Those decorations are superb, Martha. That adoration, that approval that she desires from not Jesus, but from her sister and all the other guests. Where do we see this play out in our lives? It could be with our siblings, like I was explaining earlier on. Maybe we're distracted with our siblings. It could be just a family member. It could be at work, a coworker. It might not be a relationship that's distracting us from our relationship with Jesus at all. It might be a thing. It might be a device. It might be planning for that dinner party or special thing going on, and you, where do we go for planning? Ladies, where do we go? We love Pinterest, right? They have the best stuff. Well, let me tell you, I go to Pinterest too, okay? All right, I'm a guy, I go to Pinterest. If I'm planning something, let's say a special cake for a coworker, a boss perhaps, Pastor Mark. Okay, so I'm planning this dinner party with Pastor Mark, and I'm like, all right, I gotta make the perfect cake, okay? So here we go, we're gonna go to Pinterest, and I click on one, nope, that's not it. Click on another, that's it. And then what happens? Inevitably, they have this tutorial video that pops up and just gets in the way, and I'm like, this is nonsense. But, well, wait, they're telling me how to do it. Okay, so I'm going to listen to that, but I'm going to read this. I'm very confused. And pretty soon, then Instagram pops up, and you realize your best friend actually made the cake already, and it's better than yours. Check that out. Yeah. Thanks a lot, Pastor Jamie. What am I supposed to do with mine now? I'm like, oh no, now what? And then I find out he goes to Pastor Jamie's dinner party, and now I'm, because it's all over Facebook now. They're having group photos, and so, you know what, forget it. Next time, I'm just going to go to Amazon, I'm going to buy something he loves. So I go to Amazon, I drop another app, I pull up Amazon, I pick up a bunch of Peeps for Pastor Mark, because he loves them. Remember that. So there I am, I'm ordering the Peeps. And what I realize is that I need the certain types of Peeps, so I go back to his Facebook page. Look, this goes on and on and on in our lives where we're trying to plan the perfect thing. And what we realize is that we're just getting distracted from the point of it. Because we need more apps. You ever get to the point where you're like, oh, hey, Siri, Alexa, Google, can you get me another device, please? Just order one. I don't care. We get to that place, and what really happens is we're just distracted. We're not in the moment. We're not engaged. Inevitably, distraction will lead to anxiety and trouble. Because what am I doing with my phone at that point? I'm just setting it aside, and I'm walking away. We've lost our way because we're so divided. We're so pulled in every direction. We're not giving attention, the attention that we need from ourselves to the multitude of things that we're trying to do in any given moment. We fall into this idea, just another app, open one more tab, and if I have a bunch of tabs open at the same time, that'll remind me that I gotta get those other tabs done. I tend to think of browsers nowadays as like my grandpa's old garage. You remember like cleaning out your grandpa's garage and you're like, what is all this junk? Oh, he was gonna fix that. Like tabs on a browser is that way for a lot of us? Like, I'm going to get to that. I want to give you a number, okay? 2,617. Do you know what that number is? That's how many times per day, on average, an American touches the touchscreen of their device. 2,617 times a day. Now, for reference, there are only 1,440 minutes per day. We're touching our phones more than there are minutes in a day. Do you know that during the pandemic, our average screen time actually increased from 4 hours a day, America, 4 hours, okay. 4 hours a day, that's not good as a start. It ballooned to 8 to 12 hours on average per person for screen time. Now, some people are like, oh, well, I don't even use my phone, and I don't own an iPad or a tablet or anything like that. Okay, well, doesn't count TV consumption. 3 hours a day. 3 hours a day of TV consumption. So in today's life, distraction is a full-time job. Many of us spend 40 hours a week giving in to a pull that's compulsive and distracting. Apps getting our attention. Watch this next video. Read this next post. Stay tuned for what this congressman or woman has to say about this. Why isn't Netflix playing my next video? I'm trying to scroll through TikTok and that's not playing my next video. And wait, did somebody just say what I think they said? Oh, I got to respond to that. That's not going to work for me. And you can just hear Dory from Finding Nemo just start singing, just keep scrolling, just keep scrolling, scroll, scroll, scroll. That's how I think of it. Now, hearing all this, I know some people are like, finally, an anti-technology message. He's going to lay it down. No, I'm not going to tell you to destroy your technology, get rid of Instagram, any of that, and let's all build butter churns, Jedediah. I'm not going to say that. That's not what I'm saying. This is a message that's saying let's use technology instead of it using us. Let's realize the system is rigged and not in our favor. Because I can tell you, we're doing a small group. I'm doing a life group online with a lot of our online viewers, some of our online viewers. It's been going great. And we're doing a series right now called Redeem the Screen. And it's been fantastic. But one of the questions, of course, right off the bat is like, what's your average screen time? And I'm like, oh, what's yours? And Bob is like, oh, 20 minutes a day. And I was like, well, bloop, you're muted. And no, I'm not that bad. Because then I look at my phone and I'm like, 4 hours? Just please, be cool, James, be cool. Yeah, mine's like 30 minutes a day. No, wait, oh, undershot that, 4 hours a day. 4 hours for me, I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you. But let's get our souls back. Let's not be given over to what is leading us to higher levels of anxiety and trouble. Where do we start when we choose to stop scrolling and start sitting at Jesus' feet? How about what the Apostle Paul says in Romans? He writes this about this very thing in Romans, and no, he doesn't mention cell phones or touch screens, but you've got to believe that this is what he means when he says this. Do not be, what is that word? Do not be what? Conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewal of your mind. That's living life in full color. Beautiful color. Do not let this device conform you to this world. Do not allow yourself to be owned by the device that you own. Walk away from the distractions and sit and focus. And I'm on this journey too. God's been growing me, and I'm excited of what he's been sharing with me. And one of the things that he's also been saying is like, why do you use the word busy so much in conversation? I can't tell you, despite the pandemic, I can't tell you how many times we've talked, I've had conversations, and the person and I both say, how you doing? The other person, busy. How you doing? Life is good, but busy. How are the kids? They're busy. Oh, so busy. I talked to one mom as she was leaving today, and she's like, well, I just did it. Right after your message, I said, She said, how's it going? Well, this little guy's got me busy. And I was like, it's okay. It's okay to say it. But here's what I said. I finally, it was so convicting going through this that I said, I'm not going to speak that into my life anymore. I'm not going to be busy. Do I have responsibility? Absolutely. Do I have a lot to do? Easter's in like less than 2 weeks. We got a lot to do. But I'm not going to be busy. I'm not, certainly not Pastor Mark. He's redoing his bathroom right now. I don't know if you heard. There's a toilet in his yard. No, I'm just kidding. I think, I don't know if it's still there. But I'm not going to be busy. I'm just going to be here. I'm going to be right here, right now, in this moment. I got stuff to do, but I'm not going to say I'm busy with it. Because being busy is a choice. For me, being busy is that state of mind. It's a lie that I tell myself that I can get trapped into, and it becomes an idol, because then I'm comparing how busy I am to other people. And so, where you've got to jump over here, and when you go over there, and secretly I'm thinking about the other things that I need to get done, or I'm checking my list, and you think multitasking is a thing. Some people are like, yeah, that's a thing. It's a sport. It's a sport for me, and I'm a winner, but it's not a real thing. I'm sorry. It's not a real thing. This is so 10 years ago. The Harvard Business Review put a study out that shows that, quote, we have a brain, that's good news, we have a brain with billions of neurons and many trillion of connections, but we seem incapable of doing multiple things at the same time. Sadly, multitasking doesn't exist, at least not as we think of it. We instead switch tasks, and our brain chooses which information to process. That's from 2010. Listen, admitting this isn't a bad thing. I am a devoted multitasker. Would I say recovering multitasker now? I have no idea. But what I realize about myself is that I love to jump from task to task. It energizes me. And then I'll go to one task, and then I'll jump back to this one, and that one, and this one. It just energizes me in that way. It's okay to recognize that and also admit that, but it's also really important that I plan that time in, that I need to sit at Jesus' feet. I need to put him in front of me and my to-do list. One of the most valuable currencies you have to spend in this world is your attention. So what are you paying your attention to? One philosopher said this: it is no measure of health to be well adjusted to a profoundly sick society. So what's he saying? He's just saying the same thing Paul said. He's saying, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. What does transformed look like versus conformed? Well, Mary had this. Mary had this. Sitting at Jesus' feet, it was the basics, is what we're going to call them. The basics. The basics are simple, but they are not easy. If they were easy, everyone would do them all the time, and we wouldn't be listening to James talk right now. Church, I think sometimes we look at our life and we think what we need is this, like, this big momentous occasion. We think of what God would need to do, and we think it's got to be some, like, breakthrough altar call time where he's going to tap me on the shoulder and then things are just going to change. It couldn't possibly be as simple as just making reading the Bible a priority in my life, or praying, or gathering together with God's people more often. It couldn't possibly be as simple as joining a life group or getting into a one-on-one discipleship relationship in small circle. We hear others saying, be on a team, or be generous, pray more, etc. And then we tend to say, well, that's great, but I'm just so anxious and troubled. Isn't there an essential oil that I could find that if I just put in the diffuser, it'll just relax and all my problems will go away? There actually is, out of Utah, a new shrub was found. And where'd you hear about it? Probably your phone. I'm just kidding. That's all fake. That's not real. It's on the internet. Must be true. Listen, it's spending less than you earn. It's giving God your first and best. It's finding a quiet and uninterrupted place to pray in our lives. It's spending time in his word, his letter to each and every one of us with the answers. It's trusting in God. It's honoring him. It's integrity. It's compassion for his people. It's seeking first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added onto you. It's not a magic pill. It's not a magic silver bullet. It's not some website. It's not some app, and you won't find it on a Google search. It's reading his word, which is truth, and putting it into practice, and then waking up tomorrow and doing it again. Mary knew all of that. And that's why, while Martha was running around like crazy, criticizing how everyone else was wrong and losing her way and her why, Mary sat at the way's feet, just wanting to listen to what Jesus was teaching her. You see the world of difference. You see the difference between my will be done and thy will be done. Mary discovered that when you sit at Jesus' feet, you know things that other people just don't pick up on. Other people won't know. Later on, we get to John chapter 12, and there's a party. Man, these guys love to party. And Jesus is sitting there, and Mary comes out. And look at what it says in verse 3, John chapter 12, verse 3. Then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance. She pours out this precious anointing oil on his feet. It was worth like 2 years' salary, they said. She pours it out. And then what happens to the world around Mary? What happens to people around her? They conform. What's the main concern? It costs so much. It's so expensive. Are you mad? What's going on? Why would you do that? They were so worried about how much it cost, they missed the purpose of what was happening. Verse 7, Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. She did this in preparation of my burial." It's one of the last times Jesus is meeting with people. No one else understood that Jesus was about to die on that cross. Not even his disciples, despite being told numerous times, "Guys, come on." He told them that it was going to happen. They were surprised, shocked, but Mary wasn't surprised. She saw it coming because she was tuned into Jesus. She was focused on Christ. And how was she able to do that? How was she able to know what was happening? Back to Luke chapter 10, verse 39. Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said, because she sat at his feet and she listened to what he had to say. She was focused on knowing Jesus. She wasn't distracted by what her sister was posting on social media about her. You want to be transformed? You can start with what Mary's doing here, because Jesus says, Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So this big question today is, are you choosing better? Because Jesus is better than any iPhone, Android, any other device, any situation that you're choosing over him. He will help you and guide you through that situation. Jesus over your quick fix, your touch screen, your nasty little habit, doesn't have to be a device. It's any nasty little habit. Your next binge watch, he's more worthy than anything that this world has to offer. But we have to choose. And focus is simple, but it's not easy. And this is all we get. This moment, this instance. And what you have to realize is that God is here and you're here. And we're never going to get this moment again. It's gone. We're never going to get this moment again. It's gone. It's time that we say, I'm not going to be here and simultaneously there, and I'm not going to be trying to live my life while secretly being jealous of what another person's doing or what God's doing through them. I'm going to be present. I'm going to be focused. I'm going to be right here, right now. I reject the notion and the push notifications that pull me to be busy. I'm going to breathe. I'm going to drink deeply of the life that Jesus died for me to live. Oh, that's so in color. Where do you want to be? Who do you want to become? What does it look like in 5, 10 years? Because when you have a true encounter with Jesus, when you realize that what he did for you and for me and for this whole broken world, what he did on that cross for every single one of us, when you ask for forgiveness, when you accept that grace, that is where transformation will begin. But it is only the beginning, church. Will you pray with me, if you will? Father, I thank you for this time and your word. And God, I ask you, please help us. Help us to have that heart that Mary had and that desire to serve that Martha had. Help us to sit at your feet to calm and quiet our souls because we just want you. As we're praying and we're responding to this, the Holy Spirit moving today, we need that. I don't want this anxiety and the trouble of this world. I want the perfect peace that Jesus promises. And all across the church, on campus and online, God, quiet and calm our hearts. Give us your Spirit. Give us your strength. Give us resolve to not just try this for a couple of days and then get a notification and get weary, and instead we want to do something else. God, we want to do what no one else is willing to do so that we can live like no one else is living. Help us remember the basics. Maybe you're here today and you've never truly given your life to Jesus, and we want to extend an invitation, an opportunity, an open door for you to make that decision. We want to be a church where you can belong before you believe. So we're happy that you're here, but maybe today's that day that you're going to make that decision, cross over that line and say, hey, I've heard that enough. I sense God moving in my heart. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to give my soul to him. And if that's you I'm describing, I'm going to pray a simple prayer. And I'm going to ask the church family to pray it in your heads too, to show that we are with you. We accept you into this awesome party. But I'm going to pray, Father, come into my life. Jesus, I recognize what you did for me on the cross. And I ask your forgiveness for my sins. And I turn them over to you. And Lord, I want to follow you with all my days. And I thank you for grace. And he will hear you and he will heal you as you make this faith declaration. And Father, I ask that you do what's necessary to prepare our hearts for Easter, Lord. Help us bring our focus back to you, our Savior, our Redeemer. You are the way. You are the only way that we have, and so there is no other. Show us your glory. We're ready for this next step. And we love you and honor you for all of our days. And all of God's people said, amen. In Jesus' name.